We're on the top of Samach Beis Amid Beis, and the Gemara is talking about what we call Shmira and Brius for the Guf, and the Brisa of Ben Azai, Tanya Ben Azai Omer, I'll call Mishkav, lie upon any bed, any couch, Chutz Min HaKarka, but don't go to sleep on the ground because it's very cold and you'll get sick from the cold ground. Make sure that you have some sort of a mattress over the ground in order to protect your body from the coldness of the ground. I'll call Moshav Shev Chutz Min HaKoreh. You can sit upon any chair, but not for a high beam, because you might fall from a high place. Amar Shmuel, Shena Ba'amud HaShachar. Sleep early in the morning, at dawn, is beneficial for the body. Be'istima leparzala, just like it's beneficial, what's called a tzipui shel barzel, chosek ala barzel. So it's like a mashal that he's giving to express how beneficial it is to sleep at dawn, like steel is to iron. Steel, which is refined to iron, is stronger and harder than cast iron, and the practice was to coat iron implements with steel so that be strong and sharp. Sleep at dawn is as beneficial to a person as steel is to an iron implement. Late morning sleep, by contrast, is harmful for a person, since one who indulges in it might not recite the Kriyat Shema in a timely fashion. Moreover, since sleep at this time is overly pleasurable, it might lead one to neglect the study of Torah. And Yitzia Bamud HaShachar, going out at dawn in order to defecate, is Mo'il Leguf Bi'istima Leparzla, is again as beneficial to a person as steel is to iron. So we had before the steel to iron mashal in the case of sleeping at the early hour of Amud HaShachar, and also at this early hour to regulate himself to defecate. And we saw in yesterday's shiur that this will make it more plausible that he could go through the day without having to defecate until the evening at least, and he, in the middle of the day, he won't have to find a more modest place to defecate. Bar Kapora Havi Maz Mizabein Mili Bidinri. He would actually, if you take this literally, he would sell words of wisdom for dinrim. Now, what does that mean? Did he actually accept payment for teaching Torah? I mean, that's against the Gemara Nedarim Lamed Zayin that establishes Ma'ani Bechinam Afatem Bechinam. The Gemara here is referring to Bar Kapora's ethical teachings, to his common sense teachings regarding everyday life, both of which he would propound for payment. So he's not teaching Torah, but rather more common sense kind of teachings. Or alternatively, maybe the Gemara doesn't mean that Bar Kapora actually accepted payment for words, rather he would not propound any teaching until convinced that his words were to his listeners as valuable as money. Ad de confis, which means the first of his, let's call it maxims or dictums, is ad de confat echol. Wait until you're hungry to eat. In other words, as long as you're hungry, eat. If you're no longer hungry, then stop eating. V'al tismaha, tismama ad shetaver mimcha tavas achila. Sometimes you wait too long, even though you're hungry, then food is not going to be appropriate for you, won't help you. So, you know, don't think that you could go endlessly and postpone your hunger, because that's going to be a good idea either. Ad tzachis, wait until you're thirsty, fshasi, and then drink. And you should drink immediately when you get thirsty. Don't delay that. You might get dehydrated. So that eat before desire leaves you, because if you wait, desire will disappear, the food will not be beneficial, and drink when you're thirsty, and don't wait too long, because then you'll lose the desire to drink, and that's not healthy either. Number three, Ad Roscha Kederach Shvoch. This is a mashal, which literally translates that as long as your pot is boiling, which has to do with your need to defecate, is Shvoch Es Atav Shel Mitocha El Akara. That's when you should pour the contents of your pot into a bowl of some sort. And that means that don't delay until you, so to speak, cool off. So when you have the pressing need to defecate, don't delay it. Just defecate immediately. A fourth principle, Karna Karya Baromi. If you hear the sound of a blast, call it a tkia, of some sort of an instrument in the city of Rome, that's a sign that they are mechapsim liknos te'enim. They want to buy figs and sell them elsewhere. So when you hear the sound of the horn in Rome, it's a signal for fig buyers to make their purchase. Bar Mazbein Te'eno Te'ene Davuch Zavin. Let the son of a fig seller sell the figs of his father. Which means that even if his father is not home, he should be selling his figs, because the buyers won't linger around. They'll find somewhere else to buy it, and his father will lose the profit of the fruit. Now, according to the Chidush HaGra, this is also a metaphor. The figs represent the Torah, and that we saw back on Nun Zion, and based on a pasuk in Mishle. So Bar Kappar is discussing one's obligation to teach Torah, and he rules that even if one is unable to learn on his own, he may still be obligated to teach the Torah that he did acquire from his father, at least that minimum. And that's what he means by selling the figs, meaning the Torah of his father. Amaluhu Abai l'Rabbanon. Abai said to the Rabbanon, Ki Ailusi, when you pass through Bishvile, the alleyways, the Mechoza of the city called Mechoza, Lemepak Bay, to go out, Bechakla, out into the fields, meaning to defecate, Lotechazu, Lolahakis, don't gaze on this side or that side, Dilma Yosve Nashi, perhaps women are sitting there, and may they be defecating themselves as well. So you may have a separate bathroom for women and separate for men, but out in the fields, you never know who's out there defecating. V'lava orach arol estakuli b'hu. It's not proper to gaze upon women who are defecating. Rav Safra al lebeis hakise. Rav Safra went to the bathroom to attend to his needs. Asa Rabbi Abba nochar le abava. Rabbi Abba came and coughed on the door, meaning he was signaling that he was about to go in. Amaleser of Safra, who was on the inside of the bathroom, said to him, Leul Mar, let the master enter. And Basa de Nafik Amalei, when Rav Safra emerged, Rav Abba said to him reproachfully, Ad Hashta lo Ailis le Seir, you have not yet gone up to Seir, Vigaramt lecha mili de Seir, yet you have learned the practices of Seir. In other words, you're as immodest in the bathroom as they are. Which means that you should not have spoken to me. It's immodest to speak while you're in the bathroom. You should have informed me of your presence by coughing and reply to my cough or make some other sound, but not by speaking. Seir was the land of the Bnei Edom, the Edomites, in Bereishis Perek Lamed Beis. They generally behaved immodestly in the bathhouse or in the bathroom. Rabbi Abu is saying that Rav Safra had abandoned the most modest behavior of the Persians, as we discussed back on Daf Ches, where he dwelt in Babylonia, for the immodest behavior of the Edomites. And then the Gemara says, Lav hochitnan. Have we not learnt in the Mishnah, in Masechta Tamid, Medura Haisa Shamu Beis Akise Shel Kavod? There was a bonfire there and a latrine of honor. This bonfire was in the portion of the temple fire chamber, the Beis Hamoke, that was within the temple courtyard and the Chatz of the Mishkan, of the Migdash. The latrine of honor was located together with a mikveh in a tunnel built below the temple. The bonfire was intended for those Kohanim who, having defecated, were obligated to immerse themselves in the mikveh. They would warm themselves by the fire after immersing. Bizeh hayakvodo. This was its particular honor. What was the honor here that we're talking about? Beis HaKisa Shel Kavod. It possessed a door, Matzu Na'ul, if it was locked, the Adua She'esham Adam. It was clear that there was someone inside. Matzo Pasuach, the Adua She'en Sham Adam. If it was open, then it was clear-cut evidence that no one was there. So you didn't have to speak while you were in the bathhouse in order to preserve the honor of those using it. Is Alma Lav Urach Arahu. We see that it's not proper to speak while in the bathhouse. And why then did you speak? So the Gemara explains Rav Safra's action. But who saw Rav Misukan who? He thought that Rabbi Abba was in danger. That's why he spoke up. To Sanya, for his taught in a Braisa, Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer Amud HaChozer Mevias HaAdam Lidei HaDrokon. This we've discussed in the past. In other words, if the excrement is partially out and then you hold it in, that's very, very dangerous. Tilon HaChozer Mevias HaAdam Lidei Yerokon. And if you have a stream of urine and you stop in the middle, then you force back the urinary duct and that brings a person to suffer from jaundice. Rav Safra feared that the person knocking was in these straits, and he wished to succor him. He therefore told him to enter. So again, this case where Rav Safra tells Rabbi Abba to enter is not your regular classic case. He was telling Rabbi Abba to enter because he suspected that Rabbi Abba's situation is like that described in the Braisa of someone who is already like in the process of making and then he has to stop. And maybe Rabbi Abba was knocking in this state of, oh, I gotta go immediately, of straits. And that's why he told him to enter. Now the Gemara tells us a story about Rabbi Lazar, who was saved from danger, the danger of the Beis HaKise. Rabbi Lazar, all the Beis HaKise. So Rabbi Lazar goes into the bathroom. Asa hu parsa dachke. A certain parsa, maybe a Roman, came in. We're not sure if parsa is a Roman. Maybe it means a Persian. And pushed him aside. Dachke pushed him. Kam Rabbi Lozer in Nafak. Rabbi Lozer got up and he left. And he recognized that God brought him suffering. There must have been some message, some purpose. He waited to see what would transpire. Subsequently witnessed the death of the Roman. And he understood that the Roman had been especially sent to rescue him. Why? Because Asa Durakona, a snake came, Shamte le Karkashe, and he ripped out the Roman's rectum and he killed him. So now it was clear that this Roman was sent by the Almighty to save him. And come Alei Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar recited the following pasuk regarding this miracle that he was spared. Vetein Adam Tachtecha, pasuk in Yeshaya. And I will put a person in your place to receive the danger that might have struck you. Al Tikri Adam Ela Edom. Don't read it as a person, but as an Edomite. And this prophecy was fulfilled for me since the Roman and Edomite was killed in my stead. Another story of Tznius and the Beis HaKise. When Shaul HaMelech was running after David to kill him, Shaul went into a cave in order to defecate, and David HaMelech was hiding in that cave. And David's entourage, his people, were telling him, now's your chance to kill Shaul. But instead, David cuts off the knaf me'il, the corner of Shaul's cloak. And after Shaul goes out, David goes after him, and he says, he declares, V'omar lahargacha v'tochas olecha, meaning, I could have killed you, but I had compassion on you. So the Gemara asks, was David right in saying that? V'omar, v'omarta, miboyle. He should have said, v'omarti. Why did he say v'omar? Also, he should have said, v'chasti, instead of atochas. So the Gemara is now trying to find pshat in the statement of David HaMelech. Omar Ablozar, Omar lo David l'shol, minatora ben harigata, share rodefata, according to strict law, I could kill you because you're running after me to kill me. Vatora omra habo lahargucha hashkim lahargo. So I had every right to kill you because you're a rodef. God protected you because of your midah of tznius. And that's why we understand the Lashon HaPasuk. Now, how do we explain the Lashon HaPasuk? David spoke in the third person because he was actually referring to Hashem. Hashem was really the one who mandated King Shaul's death, but because of Shaul's attribute of modesty, Hashem saved and spared the life of Shaul. So then Vatochas, which is in third person, in the feminine form, so Tznius is a noun in the feminine. The phrase Vatochas, therefore, means you are protected through the attribute of mercy. Umayhi, or what was this modesty of which David spoke? Dechsiv, because regarding this incident, the Pasuk says, Vayavo el Gidrol Satson al Aderech Vesham Ma'ara Vayavo Shol Lahosech Es Raglov. And Shol came to the sheep pens along the road. There was a cave there, and Shaul came into the cave to shelter his feet, which is another word for defecate. And Tana, we learned in a brisa, Gader lifnim mi gader, ma'or lifnim mi mara. Shaul secluded himself inside a pen that was inside another pen, inside a cave that was inside another cave. So there were extreme measures that Shaul took to ensure his privacy during defecation. So from the fact that the verse speaks of sheep pens in the plural, Chazal derived that it was one pen within another pen. They learned that he entered one cave within another cave from the seemingly superfluous phrase, and Shaul came. The verse could have simply stated, and he came to the sheep pens along the road, and there was a cave there, and he sheltered his feet. But it says again, and Shaul came into the cave. Evidently, there were two caves, and Shaul went to a cave within another cave. And from these extreme measures that Shaul took to ensure his privacy during defecation, David saw that he was exceedingly modest. And a Torah scholar is required to seek this level of privacy before defecation. The Gemara notes now that there was further modesty displayed by Shaul in this incident. Lahasech, the verse states, and Shaul came to shelter his feet. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Melamich Asikech Atzmo Kisuka. The reference is possibly to defecation. It teaches that he sheltered himself with garments while defecating, spreading them about his upper body and his legs like a shelter. So again, although he thought himself alone in a most private place, nevertheless he took care to leave none of his flesh exposed. And it was this degree of modesty that moved David to spare his life, because David declares it's not proper to harm one possessive of such modesty. Now, once the Gemara mentions this incident, it expounds a verse here: "Vayokom David, vayichros es knaf mi'il ha'mi'il asher l'shol balot." David cuts off the corner of Shaul's cloak. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Kol HaMevazes, HaBegodim Sof, Eino Nena Mihem. David will be punished for dishonoring the clothing. Shenemar, Vamelech Zaken, Baba Yomim, Vachasev, V'Begodim Lo Yicham Lo, in his older years, David HaMelech would not be warmed up by his garments, because he had dishonored Shaul HaMelech's garments. His own garments would not warm him up. And this is derived from the pasuk. It says, "And they covered him with garments, vaychasu bebegodim, v'lo yichamlo." The Medrash explains that the incident with Shaul HaMelech occurred with a talis, and King David cut off one of the corners of Shaul HaMelech's talis and made it unfit for the mitzvah of tzitzis. So Ben Yehoyada sees this as an invalidation of the mitzvah of talis, and that's dishonoring the garment. David HaMelech could have cut off a piece from the corner of the talis, but from the side of the talis, without being mafkiyat from the mitzvah of tzitzis. So let's go over that last drasha one more time. Lahasech, on Rabbi Lozer, Malamich Hasichech Atzmo Kesukah. It teaches us that he, Shaul, sheltered himself with garments while defecating, spreading them around his upper body, his legs, like a shelter. Again, even though he thought he was in a most private place, you know, a cave within a cave, etc., but nevertheless he took care to leave none of his flesh exposed. This is an unusual degree of modesty that moved David HaMelech to save his life. And yet, David HaMelech, because he cut the beged of Shaul, was punished. And in his later years, nothing could warm him up. The begadim just didn't do it for him. And Im Hashem Hesischa, David says, Im Hashem Hesimcha, if Hashem incited you against me, be Yarach Mincha. Let him accept as an offering my prayer to avert your wrath. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeDavid, Mesis Karisli. Do you call me, God, saying, an insider? Hareini machshilcha bedavar shafil tinokas beis rabban yodin oso. You're going to stumble regarding a thing that even school children know. Dechsiv, it's written, ki sisa es rosh b'nei Yisrael efkudehem v'nasnu ish kofar nafsho. When they are counted, when you take account of the heads of the children of Israel, the numbers, let each man give an atonement for his soul, and there will be no plague amongst them when they are counted. This is what they shall give, a half a shekel. The verse teaches that one must not take a census of Jews by counting the heads, but only by counting tokens. Otherwise, there's a danger of plague. Miyad vayamod satan al Yisrael. Immediately, God prepared for David to be incited to contravene this commandment. As the verse says, and an inciter arose against Israel. That's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. And it's referring to the satan, or the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, incites man to sin, uksiv. And it's written, regard to this insider, Vayoses es David Bohem Lemar Lech Menei Es Yisrael. He incited David concerning the Jews, saying, go count Israel. And David somehow fell into this allurement of the Yetzirah. He took a census of the people of Israel, the Kevan de Moninu Lo Shakal Minayu Kofer. He counted them and he failed to take from them a kofer, some sort of token, an atonement. Dichsiv Ayitein Hashem Dever B'Yisrael Me'aboker V'Adeis HaMoed. Hashem put a plague amongst Israel from the morning until the appointed time. Many, many Jews died as a result of the fact that King David took this census head by head and he didn't take a token. So what God promised came to pass, and David erred with regard to a well-known law. The law that prohibits direct counting of Jews, his error resulted in a plague. Now let's read this last pasuk again. Vayitein Hashem dever b'Yisrael me'aboker v'ad eis moed. Hashem put a plague amongst Israel from the morning until the appointed time. What is this appointed time? What is meant by the appointed time? Amar Shmuel, Sova Chasne de Rabbi Chanina, Mishmei de Rabbi Chanina, the Shmuel, the son-in-law of Rabbi Chanina, the name Rabbi Chanina, Mishas Shchita Satomid Ad Shas Zrikoso. The plague continued from the time of the slaughter of the morning Tomid until the time of the throwing of its blood, the Zrika Saddam. So the slaughter of the morning starts at dawn. That's a Mishnah in Tomid. The dam is received in a Mizrak, in a vessel, a klisharis, then it's sprinkled on the Mizbeach. The offering is rendered valid when the blood is thrown. The amount of its throwing is the appointed time for the validation of the offering. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Ad Chatzos Mamish. The plague continued until it was actually noon, the last moment at which the morning tumen may be brought. So that's the appointed time, designated time for the sacrifice. Now at the height of the plague, an avenging angel stretched his hand out towards Yerushalayim in order to destroy it. Hashem showed mercy and commanded the angel to desist. Now the Gemara is going to interpret the pasuk that describes God's command. Vayomer la'malach ha'mashchis ba'om rav. God said to the malach who is destroying the many amongst the folk, now stay your hand, which means hold off. Amar Rav Lazar, Amar le'akosh brok le'malach, God says to the malach, toli rav bohem, take for me the great one, the rav amongst them, sheyesh bo lipar mehem kama chovos, for that sufficient merit in him to exact payment from them for many of their sins. V'yosesha mes Avishai ben Tsruya sheshakol keruba shel Sanhedrin. Avishai, the son of Tsruya, died, who was equivalent in his greatness to the greater part of the Sanhedrin. Now, the kasha here is, it seems like this was all a punishment for David HaMelech's sin. Why did all the Jews have to be punished for David's sin? It's very strange because somehow their death represents a penalty for David HaMelech, since it came at his hands through his wrongful words. 70,000 Jews perished in this plague, and the Gemara wonders why the verse states that the angel was destroying many amongst the folk. And the Gemara is going to expound the word Rav as meaning the great one. And it says, Ubahashkis Ra Hashem Vayinochem, and during the destruction Hashem saw and he reconsidered. So pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. My Ra, what did God see that caused him to reconsider? Amar Rav, Ra Yaakov Avinu,
Tichsiv Ayomer Yaakov Kashera Am. And Yaakov said, when he saw the angels that greeted him upon his return from Beis Lavan, and they said, this is an encampment of God. And that's a pasuk in Bereishis Lamed Beis. So the Rasha tries to explain the connection between these angels and the deliverance of the Jews. He says that the angels of this vision of Yaakov were sent for Yaakov's protection, and later they came to his aid in his fateful encounter with his brother Esav. And the Medrash says that the phrase, this is an encampment of God, this is the Machna Hashem, indicates that God intended that these angels not only protect Yaakov, but also protect the encampment of God, the Machna Shechina, so to speak, that would eventually spring forth from Yaakov, namely the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. Rav holds that this promise of protection bore fruit in the time of David HaMelech, when the Jews were saved from the plague in the merit of Yaakov Avinu. So that's the opinion of Rav, that when it says, Ubehashchis Ra Hashem Vayinochem, the Ra is a reference to the angels of Yaakov. Shmuel Amar, Afro Shel Yitzchak Ra, he saw the merit that was represented by the ashes of Isaac, Shenemar, Elokim Yirelo Haseh. Similar words, Yirelo Haseh, in this case, God will see for himself the sheep for the offering, my son. Now this pasuk, Elokim Yirelo Haseh, appears in Bereishis Chaf Beis in the section that recounts the Akedas Yitzchak. On the way to the place of the sacrifice, Yitzchak, who was at that point under the impression that they were going to slaughter a sheep, inquired as to why they brought no sheep. Avram replied with the words which these Elokim Yirelo Haseh are interpreted by Rashi as referring obliquely to the fact that it would be Yitzchak himself who would be slaughtered. In any event, it was not Yitzchak who was slaughtered, but a sheep that God had prepared for this purpose that was slaughtered. Our Gemara is now reading a further meaning into this verse, that for all eternity God will see the merit of the sheep offering brought in Isaac's stead. God will see for himself the sheep and will deliver Klal Yisrael in that merit. And Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka is going to give a third answer. He says, Kesef Kippurim Ra'a. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the merit of the Kesef Kippurim in the Israel's first counting. Shenemar V'lakachta Es Kesef HaKippurim Me'eis B'nei Yisrael. Which means that you shall take the money of the atonement, the atonements from the children of Israel, and shall be for the children of Israel for a remembrance for before Hashem to atone upon their souls. And this pasuk states that at some future time the money of this counting will serve as a remembrance for the Jews. And this came to pass in the time of the minyan of the counting of the sphira, the counting, the census of David HaMelech, when these atonements caused God to reconsider the plague. A fourth answer is Rabbi Yochanan or Beis HaMikdash Ra, Hashem saw the Beis HaMikdash that would later be built on that very same spot. Tichsiv Kehar Behar Hashem Yeroeh. On that mountain Hashem will be seen. Again, this was a pasuk that was spoken by Avram after the Kedis Yitzchak. And in this pasuk, Avram names the place of the binding Hashem Yireh, which means God will show. This is the place of His divine presence. And Avram gave it this name in anticipation of the revelation foretold by the verse in the next words, on the mountain Hashem Bahar Hashem Yira'eh. And this revelation occurred at the time of David HaMelech, when Hashem ended the plague in the very location where Isaac's binding took place. On this day, Hashem commanded David to build an altar, to build a mizbech in the place where the plague had ended, and thereby revealing to David HaMelech the spot on which the holy temple would be built, and the Shechina would rest on that spot. we see that at this moment the remembrance of the holy Migdash came before Hashem. Rabbi Yochanan therefore maintains that it was the merit of the Beis HaMigdash, in that merit, that he reconsidered his decree. And the Medrash says that this plague came upon the Jewish people as a punishment for the neglect they neglected to build the Beis HaMigdash. And this touches on our question before, why would it be that the people of Israel, so many thousands, would be killed, would die as a result of David HaMelech's sin? Immediately after the plague cessation, Hashem revealed to David the location of the Beis HaMikdash, commanded him to build an altar there. Hashem indicated the cause of the plague, and now the matter would be rectified. Digi bar Rav Yaakov bar Idi v'Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Chadomar Kesef HaKippurim Ra, v'Chadomar Beis HaMikdash Ra. According to one opinion, Hashem saw the silver of the Kapara at the time of the sphere of Klal Yisrael. According to the other, he saw the merit of the Beis HaMikdash. U'mistabra, keman diomer Beis HaMikdash Ra, shenemar, asher yomer hayom, behar Hashem Yira. Avram called the name of that place of the Akedah, Hashem will show, for it will be said each day. On the mountain of Hashem, he will show himself. From these words, each day we see that the merit of the Beis HaMikdash is for all time, and it's logical to assume that it is in this merit that the Jews were saved at the time of David HaMelech. The Mishnah says, Lo yikonis odom l'arbayis b'maklo, one is not allowed to enter into the Temple Mount, the Harabayis, with his staff, etc. He cannot use the Harabayis as a kapandria, a shortcut. What is a kapandria, the Gemara asks? Amarava, kapandria kishma. In other words, we look at it as an acronym which implies a shortcut. V'ravchana bar Adam ishmei d'rav sama b'rei d'rav mori omar. According to their opinion, kiman d'yomar inish, like people say, Adamak pina adore eul baha. Instead of going around the rows of the houses, I will take you to a shortcut and go in there. That's the idiomatic phrase. So kampandria is formed from the major parts of the phrase adimak kifna, I went around, adare, with a shortcut. Rav Chana bar Ado does not disagree with Rabbi, is simply explaining his words. And Rabbi Nachmanel says in our Gemara that it's clearly expressed in Megillah as well. However, some people say that we should discount the reading of the Gemara Megillah, maintain that Rava and Rav Chana bar Ado are actually in disagreement. That the word kapandria was a well-known Greek term that meant shortcut. Rav is explaining that it is this term to which the Mishnah refers. Rav Chana bar Ado argues that the word kapandria is not a Greek term, but an acronym form of two Aramaic words. There's another opinion that states that Rav and Rav Chana are in disagreement, but maintains that according to Rav, kapandria, while it is Greek, it means a shortcut. And that's what the Mishnah has in mind. And according to this opinion, it's not exactly clear why Rav Chana bar Abda had to make his comment. In any event, the Gemara presents three rulings regard to the use of a synagogue as a shortcut. According to the first ruling, because again, generally speaking, we don't use a synagogue as a shortcut. That's a mission in Megillah. One may not enter a synagogue except for the purpose of a mitzvah and not for one's own convenience. However, the Gemara will now present several instances in which a synagogue may be used in this manner. And we start with the statement of Rav Nachman Omer Rav Abba, Hanichnas of Beis HaKnesses Al Menas Shelo Lasos Kapandria Muto Lasos Kapandria. So if he enters into the shul and he has no intention to use it as a shortcut, he can permit it on his way out. He's permissible to use it as a shortcut.